All right, we are back, episode 38 of the Reporter's Corner. I'm one half of your co-host, Jared Urbeda, with Bemidji Pioneer. With me is the better half of the co-host, Trent Singer from Two Flaws Live. Trent, how are we doing today?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Hockey season is moving into November, and we're staying busy. I know we had the Urbeda Singer Bowl last weekend. It took another turn. I think we both called splits, but ends up being a Bemidji sweep.
Yeah. First time Bemidji State and Augustana have had a sweep in their, three meetings?
Yeah.
Four meetings because the playoffs.
It's regular season. Yeah.
Three meetings in the regular season, four with playoffs. So CCHA play is firmly underway. We got another fun slate of games this weekend, and the Bees are headed up to play Bowling Green, which features our next guest in a seamless transition there by yours truly. Our next guest is Jaden Grant on the Reporter's Corner, Bowling Green senior forward. Great interview. It was a good interview with a guy who's seen a lot of stuff happen at Bowling Green. Their coaching changes and a number one recruiting class come in there, depending on what recruiting rankings you follow. Trent, what did we get into with Jaden about today?
Yeah, I mean, Bowling Green coming off a sweep at Lake State. He had two goals on that Friday night game, one of which was the game winner, and then he followed it up with a second goal. And, you know, Bowling Green, we Jared talked about what this team might look like in January and February and how that we think that they're going to be a pretty formidable force. But we kind of foresaw, and even when we talked earlier this year with Nathan Burkett about this team, we kind of foresaw that there could be some growing pains with all the CHL transfers that they brought in. But man, honestly, they're looking sharp already. I mean, to go up to the Sioux and get two, 6 points, get two games, that's a big deal. And now they're back on home ice and playing against a Bowling Green or a Bemidji team that's, you know, coming off a solid weekend at home as well. It's going to be a fun series, and looking forward to seeing how it plays out. But you know, with Jaden, it was a great chat. We talked a little bit about the playing career. He's a guy who grew up in White Lake, Michigan, which is a suburb of Detroit. Played for the Oakland Junior Grizzlies in AAA. And then obviously starts his junior career, goes and plays with the Chippewa Steel and the Nall before going and playing in Sioux City and Youngstown. Then makes his way to Bowling Green, where he was recruited by, you know, Ty Agner and Curtis Carr and that group. And then, you know, a couple of years in, they change coaches and go with an alum and Dennis Williams. And we talked a little bit about what that transition period was like and kind of what those first impressions look like. And Bowling Green, a great season in their first year too. I was really impressed with them last year under Coach Williams and what he brought to this team. And, you know, making that semifinal game, I think, was really big for Bowling Green last season, and it seemed like it was a little bit of a springboard for this program. I know losing to St. Thomas left a sour taste, and we talked a little bit about what all that entailed for Jaden and the team and the guys who came back. And you know, of course, we closed it out with our one-timers, as we always do. Got to find out who the best golfer on the team is, who the biggest sandbagger was, you know, his favorite places to play in the CCHA, maybe some of the favorite places to play in all of college hockey, you know, some of those most talented players that he's played with. So, for BG fans, you're going to enjoy this one. We have really, really been lucky so far this season, and also just with Bowling Green players. I mean, you know, we talked with Dalton Norris, we talked with Christian Stover last season, we talked with Coach Williams last season, and Jaden picks up right where they left off. I mean, he's an alternate captain on this year's team, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode.
Yeah, so let's kick it to our interview with Jaden Grant. All right, it's time for another interview, and we wanted to kick it over to Ohio because the Bowling Green Falcons are coming off of a big weekend. We have Jaden Grant, senior forward, on the show. Jaden, thanks for hopping on. You're coming off of a big, big weekend. Taffy Abel's a tough place to get two wins, but you got a couple of them there. After kind of a little bit of a slow start in non-conference play, just what was this weekend like in getting in the right direction here?
Yeah, first off, I want to say thank you guys for having me. I'm excited to
you bet.
Be on here. It was a big, big weekend for our group. I think it was a tough weekend after the Niagara. Not coming out of there with any points, it was tough. But the message after that week was We had some league games coming up, which those points are vital this early on in the season. So the message throughout practice all week was Lake State's a tough place to get points in. So it starts with Friday, and then we got those points, and then going on to Saturday, it was even a harder test for us.
Yeah, I want to talk about this team a little bit. A lot was made in the offseason about the recruiting class and really how it stacked up with a lot of other teams in the country, whether out east or here out west. I mean, from your perspective, just kind of through this first month of the season, how talented is this group of newcomers and how have they sort of fit into kind of what you guys are trying to do offensively, with this team this year?
Yeah, I think it's been huge. It's been exciting to see the transition from the different leagues, whether guys are coming from the OHL, the Q, or the WHL. I think it's cool to see how their games transition over to college hockey because, as most people know, it's a tough game in college every night.
For sure.
It's sweet, though, to see the skill level that come out of these guys. I think it's been great because that's the area that we've been wanting to improve on here in this program is to push for offense and to be more proficient in those areas. So I think whether it's in practice, our execution, the skill development, that's been huge for us over the last few weeks, and it's been trending upward for us. So we just got to be patient with it.
I want to kind of ask you, too, because I cover Bemidji State here. They had a lot of CHL kids or kids with CHL experience come in, and it was a big group, 10 newcomers, similar to Bowling Green, where I think you had 10 or 11 of them, too. And each kid that had been here in the year before talked about how much more intense the preseason practices were. They were faster, they were bigger, stronger, and it was a lot of kids vying for spots in the lineup. Did you guys kind of feel some of that, too, of it's a whole new culture of kids coming in here? These practices are a little bit more intense than they were a year ago in preseason camp.
Yeah, for sure. I think it definitely started with just the mess around skates that we had. Not mess around, but with captain skates we had before coaches come on the ice. But you could see the skill and the speed that those guys brought. And it was cool to see, too, because once we started getting into practice, we had a practice open to the public. It was cool seeing having fans come up to us like, wow, you guys have a fast transition, fast-paced team that can play with lots of skill and strength because we have some bigger bodies on the team as well. So it's cool to see that internally we can see that, but as well as externally with the fans and like even the students around campus who come out to the games and practices. So it's cool.
I that's an interesting point too, because I think, the hype around the recruiting class was, it's hard to ignore for a lot of people. And I'm sure you guys see some of that too, of the graphic, oh, Bowling Green, number one recruiting class. Look at all these really accomplished recruits coming into the program. Does that add a layer of pressure at all in terms of capitalizing on such a great opportunity that you guys have in front of you this year?
Yeah, I think it can add pressure. I think pressure could be a good thing too, though. Depends which way you steer that. I think it can be a driver, a motivator. I feel like if you use it in that aspect, it's good for your team. But at the same time, you kind of want to block out the noise because internally you know what your team is doing, what you guys are striving for. Not many people know on the outside. So I think it's building that identity early on and then sticking with that and being patient with it, taking it day by day.
Well, we gotta get into your career a little bit and kind of how you made your way to Bowling Green. You're a Michigan guy, native of White Lake, which I believe is a Detroit suburb. Correct me if I'm wrong. You grew up playing AAA hockey for the Oakland Junior Grizzlies. At what point did you realize this was a game that you could play, just, take it to another level?
Yeah, I think I've always had a passion for hockey, but I think it was probably my 14U year. We won states, and that excitement of winning states this is something I love to do, and I want to continue that on. So I think going into my first year of 16s, we had a really skilled group, really great group. We had a lot of guys that went on to play either in the OHL or even D1 hockey, and I'm like, this is what I want to do. I love hockey. And BG actually came up my first year 16, second year when I committed. But during that time, BG was a top program in the country. They went to the tournament. So that was something I want to play for. I want to play for a winning team and a winning program that had great culture that kind of aligned with my own goals and values as well.
For sure. I mean, I think with Jared, we had a stretch last season where we talked to like three or four straight guys that played for all the same AAA hockey team. We did not play
Little
around
Caesars.
There.
Really? They all played the Little Caesars. Yeah.
So one thing we've come to learn is that AAA hockey is there's a unique level to it in Michigan. You know, and it's lauded. I mean, it truly is. What was your experience like playing in that scene? Just you know, at the youth level.
I think it stems from when I was, let's say, 11 or 12. I started at OJG. Dalton's dad actually helps run that program there, so they do a great job over there to really put players in the position to succeed to go to the next level. And I think I can see over time. I joined the Grizzlies when we weren't the greatest team. We were probably one of the worst in the country. And then going up to both my 16U years, we were in the top five both years. So it was cool to see starting from the bottom and then only working up from there. So it was cool to be a part of that process there in Oakland.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you have a brother that also plays AAA hockey, right?
He played for Compuware the last year, Compuware 18s, yeah.
Okay. Is there maybe a little bit of a pipeline there? I saw he had some pretty good numbers last year. Maybe he's in brown and orange there in Bowling Green in a few years.
Yeah, he doesn't play anymore actually, but no, he's
really?
He's a good player though. He when we play like in the summer, he'll skate with me, and he wants to go full tilt every skate against me. He's about 6'5". He's 6'4", 6'5", so he's a big boy too.
Oh, we got to get him back in skates. I mean, this is a powerful
one. Yeah. He's actually got great skill too. So I wish he likes hockey, but I don't know if he had the greatest passion to further that out into his career. But
right.
He has a passion for it, and he definitely doesn't let off during the summer. Or whenever we get a chance to go one-on-one.
Not against his brother, that's for sure.
We pick up pickup skates. He's trying to fight me. Or it's like summer pickup skate. I'm skating down the wall, cutting in the middle. He's trying to take my head off. So I'm like.
Oh. You're like, hey, let's get this guy in contact with Willie. We need a fourth liner. Right? Right. Yeah. We got Bemidji coming to town this weekend. Like, they're going to throw some.
Yeah, he's willing to do whatever it takes, but. Yeah, I think he hung him up. He just plays for fun now back at home.
Cool.
Let's kind of get into your junior career, right? I mean, you start in the Null with Chippewa. You played 22 games. Then you move up to Sioux City in the USHL. You know, what was that jump midseason like for you in adjusting to that pace of the USHL?
Yeah, it was quite the experience. It was my senior year of high school. So it was definitely tough moving away from home at 17. So that was a different experience living on my own, not having parents to rely on. So it was different. And then in the Null, I really wasn't sure what I was getting into with the Null. Like, I heard about it, and that's just kind of where I ended up. And then from there, I knew that I wanted to get better every single day, whether it was staying later for practice, shooting pucks, stick handling, just finding ways that I could improve myself every single day. And honestly, out of the blue, I just got called up to Sioux City, and it was something I was striving for, but I knew I could achieve it, but I just didn't know if it was my time yet. And just, I think the biggest thing was staying patient with it, taking it day by day, because once that opportunity came, it just motivated me even more to try to become better and to keep setting higher goals for myself.
I know that next year you was the first of two seasons you spent with Youngstown in the USHL. That was a COVID season.
Yeah.
What do you remember the most about that transition and really just that season in general?
Yeah, it was actually a crazy time in the world, not having an understanding of what was going on, but like it was tough because there's days where you wouldn't be able to show up to the rink and you're like, do I get to play hockey tomorrow, the next week, and you didn't really know what was going to happen. So I think the biggest thing was just finding a routine outside of the rink. Georgie Merkulov, I didn't live with him, but we got a little routine going while the games got shut down where we'd go outside and whether we're shooting pucks or doing some like off-ice conditioning stuff, just finding a way to stay in the rhythm of it because you never knew if you were going to be playing those games that weekend or that week. So I think, yeah, it was definitely a difficult time to development because there was no consistency, but I think, yeah, finding that routine away from the rink was the biggest asset.
Were you already committed to Bowling Green during that season?
Yeah.
Okay. Did that kind of make it a little bit less stressful in terms of like, you're still not trying to fight to find that commitment in the school for you? At least you have that lockdown where you can go after that COVID season.
Honestly, like I never have that perspective of having security, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
You never know, like, your spot could be taken by someone else. Like, everyone's always fighting for a spot. And especially during that time, that was when they were coming up with the fifth-year rule. So you didn't know if you were going to go in the next year. So there was guys who had fifth years, COVID years. So I was battling to try to find a spot because I knew I'd probably start bottom of the pack on the team and work my way up. So I think I definitely did not take it for granted, just having the commitment, because I knew that there's more work outside of that to do.
Yeah, for sure. And that second year in Youngstown was certainly more of a breakout. I think you had, 17 goals, 21 assists. You were named a captain that year, but more importantly, Youngstown did get to the playoffs for it was your first time making the playoffs in junior hockey at that point, which had to be a little bit of a relief. You know, just where did you personally kind of experience that the most growth in that last year in the USHL?
I think it came from the season before, just because, again, not having that clarity of if we're going to play again, because that could have led into my second year of Youngstown. I didn't know, like, if games would be canceled. So I knew that I wanted to have a huge summer going into my last year in Youngstown. And just having that confidence that I could be that guy that my coaches could rely on. And I knew that we had a great group coming to the team next year. So I wanted to really be that guy that could lead the team and hopefully drive us back to the playoffs. Cause yeah, like you said, it was the first time in my junior career to make the playoffs. So that was the goal to get there.
That 2022-23 season, your first year at Bowling Green. First of all, you know, what was it about BG? You know, obviously Ty was the coach at the time. What was it about BG that made you decide that was the place for you?
I think the biggest thing, I'm a huge family guy, so I wanted to stay local to Michigan. And during my recruitment process, I understood that BG was one of the top programs in the country. And I wanted to play for a winning team, and the culture they had here, just being so invested in each person that's here, whether it's the coaching staff, the community, everyone's involved here in BG, which just makes it that much more special. And I think having the bond that I have with my family, like having my family and my friends come to games is a dream of mine. It's everything. So it's special.
Certainly a welcome to college hockey season for you. At 8 points, 3 goals, 5 assists. One thing we like to ask everybody, though, was there a singular moment? Was there a welcome to college hockey moment where you realized, you know, this was a little bit of a bigger game than you were playing previously?
It's funny. I tell newcomers this one every year, because the freshmen, they'll come in and be like, how's college hockey? I'm like, my first shift was at Northern Michigan. I just remember my first shift, I went out and I got cross-checked in the ribs, I think, 3 times. I'm like, this is my first shift and this is how I'm feeling already. And then I think it was my second shift, right after the whistle was blown, some guys came up and just tried to kill me, and I was like, it's gonna be a long night if this is what college hockey is. I think, yeah, it's definitely like, it's cliche to say it's faster, stronger. Every guy is faster, stronger, but I think the physicality is it's definitely harder than juniors, but I think guys collectively come up, have similar skill sets. Obviously, guys, there's some who come in better with higher skill sets, but yeah, the physicality is a lot different than juniors, I'd say, for sure.
You're like telling the trainer to like steal one of those flak jackets off the football team's like equipment. Like, holy cow, man. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna have any ribs by Christmas if this keeps going.
Yeah. I think I had 2 or 3 ice bags after the first period. I'm like,
Oh yeah.
I need the ibuprofen.
I think it's really impressive though. I mean, your first 3 years, you played in 106 games, and there's college hockey players that have played that many in 3 years. It's few and far between, and for you too, it's come with two different head coaches and a lot of changes, you know, guys coming in and out, you know, through graduation, coming in through the portal, big freshman class, right? But you've been a consistent mainstay in this lineup. What's just been the key for you in finding consistency to crack into the lineup night in and night out?
I think the key word you said is consistency. I think that's the biggest thing, whether it's in life, sports, business. If you have the consistency, you'll find your niche to be able to stay. I think getting there's one difficulty, but being able to, like you said, stay is a whole nother level. And I think it comes from the lessons my parents taught me, my coaches early on, even the coaching staffs here, like Curtis Carr, one of my assistant coaches, my freshman year, he knew that I probably wasn't going to get the most playing time just because how many COVID players we had that year. And he was like, find your niche. What's your niche? And I knew right away, taking faceoffs and killing penalties, that's something that not everyone likes to do, but that's a way to get on the ice and get that opportunity. So it's tough because you're getting a beating on the PK. It's something you might not want to do. You're not really playing offense, but you're doing the little things to help your team win. And that was my niche that I found to find the opportunity.
Yeah. Your second season now under Coach Willie. And, you know, I always remember when he took that program over, one of the most fascinating things was nobody left. Great player retention right when he stepped in. And, you know, like I said, Jared and I got the chance to talk to Coach Williams last season. I've talked to Coach Williams multiple times since he got hired. And, you know, he's just an outstanding guy in terms of, you know, the stories he has, and certainly has been around the ranks, whether it's in Canada or now, you know, coming back to BG where he played. And what were your, I mean, you know, you and maybe some of the guys, what were your guys' first impressions of him when he first took over last summer?
I think there was a lot of uncertainty when he took over. Obviously, guys were looking into his resumes, hearing different stories about him. I think that it created an energy here. And I think this program has been building the last few years, especially since I've been here. We're just constantly trying to improve and find areas of improvement to bring to win the Mason. And I think there was that excitement when Willie came because the intensity he brought right away. The first meeting he had with us, guys were on the edge of their seats. Just his voice and his intention that he had in that first meeting, I think, really caught attention to the players. And the ball's been rolling after that. So guys love him. He sets a high standard for all of his players, which it helps the team, the collaboration amongst guys and the chemistry. This builds stronger because guys are pushing each other, whether it's practice, in the gym, in the classroom. Guys are just always competing against each other. So
I like that you mentioned his voice because he does have that thick Canadian accent.
Yeah.
You know, and you talk about the energy. And after he took that job, I mean, he like I said, didn't lose a player to the portal. What do you feel like went into to kind of keeping this group together and you know, really what could have been a totally different offseason for you guys?
Yeah, I think it's the culture here. Many people can say it. I've seen many different universities here and guys who I've played with, they're at different schools, but I believe Bowling Green has the best culture. It's the people who are here. They care about every single person. And it starts with the brotherhood that this team had over the course of the years, just the bond we create. We all live actually on the same street together in four separate houses.
That's awesome.
So I think that chemistry starts early on with guys being around each other. And we're brothers at the rink, in the classroom, and away from the rink. So
I bet that gets rowdy after like a home sweep, is that block is just terrorizing the neighbor.
Yeah. I don't think we've gotten too many noise complaints, but it's great. It's something I've never seen before, having four houses all on one street next to each other. We have a huge parking lot, so all the guys are around each other 24/7.
I think it depends on who they're playing too, though, Jared. I mean, if it's a rough weekend and you pull out that sweep, man, like they're probably tired, ready to go to bed.
Yeah.
On a Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah. It's helped by if we had a good weekend or not. If the lights are on or off. Yeah. It's either be the loud street, or the quietest street. Yeah.
That's right.
You know, obviously last year was a big step in the right direction, right? You get out of the first round, make it to that semifinals in the Mason Cup, but you run into a red hot St. Thomas team. And, you know, obviously you end up on the wrong side of that game, but how motivating is a loss like that for all the guys that can come back and try and build off that and take it another step further, and maybe even a couple steps further after that too?
Yeah, that's a great point. I think the biggest thing is when times get tough here, whether it's long days of class, practices, I think the returners have that memory in the back of their mind that the hardest time was last year getting booted by St. Thomas. And that just, that constant reminder is knocking on the door, which is causes some anger, but it motivates you too, because you don't want to relive that memory again. Just because the team we had, and we just had so much care for one another in this program. And I think that's going to be a big help for us this season. Continue on here early on.
You know, you talk about just that camaraderie within the group and how it's kind of ingrained in the culture of the program and not just the players in the program. Does that make it easier for, you know, 10, 11, 12 newcomers who come into a program to kind of get on that playing field too, and maybe not feel that level of, you know, motivation or anger, but at least feed off of it a little bit and try and push in the same direction? Everybody's got their oars in the water, rowing the same way as the returners. And if you guys are leading by example in that way too, the young guys can pick up on that almost right when they step on campus.
Yeah. Right away. A lot of these new guys we've got, they're winners from the teams they came from. But again, college hockey's different, and not that the history gets erased, but those guys haven't lived that moment of getting booted by St. Thomas last year, and it's something we've been building for a while now. And I think, yeah, the returners, it's been good since day one, just having our new guys understand what we went through last year to build upon that. We don't want to rebuild the house. We want to keep building it brick by brick.
Yeah.
What's your senior year, man? And, you know, I feel like there's always a moment where it starts to kind of hit you. Has it really, you know, have you had that? Have you started to kind of recognize, you know, that this is your last go of it in college hockey?
Yeah. You guys know Scoot, our equipment manager?
Oh, yeah.
He lets me
love Scoots. We don't have a Scoots question in here, but we will ask about Scoots when we're done. But yes, go.
Yeah. No, he reminds me every day. He's like, he lets me know. He's like, Ranner, you're a senior now. I'm like, I know I'm a senior. It's flown by. But I've loved every moment here, and I really want to end on a good note here. Obviously, the fifth-year rule is no longer in place, so there's no next year. There's now. And I don't take it for granted. Again, I live by the quote of, you get 1% better every day. And that's all you can do. Put your best foot forward. And I there's an energy here with this team that something special is going to happen this year.
So you just got to slip like a cool $100 bill to the compliance office and be like, hey, you know, that senior, let's make that a junior real quick. And, and keep BG.
I wish. It feels like I just got here. It's crazy how the years have flown by. It really has.
Oh, yeah. Jared and I both went the ranks. We got to ask about Scoots though, man. Yeah. I mean, I love the diamond cutter. I'm a wrestling guy. Jared is a little bit too. Yeah. And to see that incorporated into a hockey locker room at the college level is pretty awesome. I mean, what, you know, you've been here with 4 years with Scoots. So what's it like? To just see him day in and day out and really kind of feed off his energy in a lot of ways.
Yeah. I think building off his energy is huge, because he's usually the first guy I talk to in the mornings, because he's there super early. He not only does hockey, but he does baseball as well, so he's a busy man. But
oh wow,
he starts the day off right, whether it's his little jokes or his reflections on he's a big fan of the Lakers,
okay,
the Kings. He loves talking about those teams, so you always get the scoop from what happened the night before, he's either wound up about it, or he doesn't want to be talked to. So it's every morning though, you know you're gonna have a smiley scoot usually, unless the Kings or the Lakers lose. But
right,
is he a Dodgers fan too?
He likes whatever team wins. Yeah. Who knows? You could be a Dodgers fan today, and then whoever wins.
How good was the diamond cutter at Lake State this past week? And did he give you a good one to break out the first one of the year?
Yeah. Well, Jade had two goals, so I mean, right. He's right in the middle of that one.
Well, what was funny is after that second game, we're waiting for Scoot to come in, and we're like, "Where's Scoot?" And he was already up packing sticks and getting everything packed away, and I think he forgot about it. Like, "Where's Scoot? Like, he's got to do the diamond cutter." And then he came running in like, "Oh, what's going on?" And then we're like, "Scoot!" And then and then his whole demeanor just changes. Like, he becomes someone else. He gets on the cooler, and then the guys just go crazy. So it's quite the experience. It's awesome.
We love them, but we're gonna transition now to the one timers, and we ask all these questions to every single person who comes on this show. And we'll start with this one. It's, where is the toughest place to play in the CCHA?
That's a tough question. I would say Michigan Tech.
Yeah,
was a really good crowd, and I can't remember which year it was, but we were there during the Winter Carnival, so that place was packed. And
did you win the Winter Carnival trophy?
It was weird because we lost the first night, but we won the second night. So like, we basically won it, I think.
Yeah, it's on aggregate goals. Whoever scores the most goals in the week.
Yeah, like we won, but they like brought the trophy out, and then we didn't know what to do. So it was kind of
We just had this conversation last week, I think, with Alex.
Really?
With Alex Tracy. Yes, and we talked about how awkward it can be sometimes.
Yeah, like, we didn't really know. Like, we weren't there to we were there to ruin their carnival, but it was kind of awkward. We didn't know what to do.
It is.
Yeah. Did you hang a banner at Slater, too, like Winter Carnival champion?
Or you should have left something in the locker room, too.
Leave the trophy in the locker room. A
couple used jocks hanging off of it.
Yeah. Sorry. This like college prom king handed me this trophy.
We're all just standing there like, we won, but we don't know. So it was good to win on the Saturday.
What about in all of college hockey? Toughest place you've had to play outside of the CCHA?
I would say Western Michigan, the Lawson.
Oh, okay,
that was tough. Yeah, their student section is crazy, and it's actually funny that a lot of guys I went to high school with, they go to Western there, so they shoot me texts before the game. They're like, "Hey, well, good luck tonight, but we're rooting against you." And I come out for warm ups, and I just see them against the glass with their signs and banging on the glass.
About Western, because I heard this from somebody else, but they terrorize whoever wears the number 4.
Yeah,
is that? Did you guys have a number 4 in that game?
Yeah, so it was funny. I think when we played there, number 4 on our team was getting ripped, and guys were like, "Why is he getting ripped?" Like, I thought he's been having like a pretty good game. Like, I don't see what he did wrong, but they're just ripping number four. I'm like, this crowd's got. They're just giving up for no reason. Yeah, I don't know why they have it. What tradition started there? But They're crazy. They have the whiteboards, guys going to the box. They have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Different.
It's like a big thing there that if you're wearing number 4, you're going to hear it for 2 games, 6 straight periods, and they're not going to give you an inch.
Yeah, it's
wild. Little freshman Brian Lonergan. That's number 4 for BG this year.
Yeah, thankfully, we don't play him this year. So, because you'd probably have a tough night here in that one.
How about this? I'm assuming you're a Red Wings guy, growing up in that, right just next door to it. Is there a player at the pro level you've always admired the most? Is there maybe somebody you've tried to model your game after? I mean, you can give us one or two if you want.
Yeah, I think a player that I always looked up to was Henrik Zetterberg. Once I got to juniors, I didn't really have flexibility to pick my number, but I always wore number 40 growing up because Zetterberg. I just loved the 200 foot game that he played, how responsible he was defensively, and then being able to produce offensively as well. And then just hearing all the different stories of how great of a person he was leading that locker room to multiple championships. So I think Zetterberg for sure is the guy I looked up to. A guy I like to model my game after now is I like watching Anthony Cirelli.
Yeah,
he's just so dynamic and he's versatile, whether it's playing center, wing, killing penalties, power play, he just finds a way to, again, to find that opportunity, that niche for himself.
There is a Zetterberg playing in the CCHA now.
Is there?
So I don't know. Mankato has Alex Zetterberg on it, so maybe you'll have to just, I don't know, throw him an elbow when you skate by him or something.
Henrik's better. No good. Hopefully I'll line up against him. Maybe I'll give him a little laugh or something.
There you go.
Who is the most talented hockey player you've ever played with? It could be in juniors, AAA, BG, wherever, but the most talented you've been on the same team with.
Most talented? I would say probably goalie Jacob Fowler in Youngstown.
Oh, yeah. That kid's
of course.
The saves that he would make where you just didn't understand how he made them. He was just crazy good. It was in practice. It was impossible to score on him. Just the way he competed every day in practice, too. It's great to see, though, how well he's doing right now and just continuing to trend upward.
Yeah, just a world junior gold medal. Just humble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah.
He's come a long way too, so I'm super happy and proud of him.
Yeah.
How about this? This might be a little, you might have to think about on this one a little bit. How about the most underrated player you've ever played with? Maybe somebody who kind of went just a little under the radar and maybe didn't quite get the respect that you quite envisioned.
I would say my team now, honestly, is probably Dalton Norris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, he's a guy we've had similar career paths growing up playing for the Grizzlies. So knowing him and his family really well, I think we had similar journeys of, again, playing with the Grizzlies and playing in the USHL and now here at Bowling Green together. I think it's been cool to see how he's been able to develop, and year after year he's just been getting better, and he's a great leader as well. So I think it's an easy one to say. I think I'd have to think longer on someone else, but he's a guy that I'm in the locker room with every day. So it's something I personally can see on a daily basis.
The only difference between you and him is his brother's playing in the NHL and yours is trying to take your head off and punt.
That's it.
Right?
It's the only difference.
You're not wrong.
The only difference. We've been asking this one, and I think we stole this from the Bowling Green social media team, and it's been a fun one. We've gotten some really, really good answers for this one. Who is the most famous person in your cell phone?
You could say Scooter if you want.
Yeah, Scooter. Yeah, for sure. famous person.
It's always fun because some of these hockey guys, who do we have last year? Was it Connor Bedard?
Yeah, Aaron Trotter had Connor Bedard. Someone this year had Jake Neighbors too.
Yep.
Just guys they play with in juniors and they're like, oh yeah, no, he's playing in the show right now.
That's tough.
Yours might be Jacob Fowler.
I would say Jacob Fowler. Dom James, he's with Tampa right now, just got called up.
Oh yeah. He was sick for Duluth too.
Yeah, he's good. Yeah, I'd probably say one of them too, just because they're in the show right now.
Yeah.
We're gonna end it with this one though, and it's the best one. And it's who is the best golfer on the team, and who is the biggest sandbagger?
Ooh. Biggest sandbagger, Tyler Palmer.
Really?
Yeah. I played in I was playing against him at the start of the year when we went out. We did, I think, twosomes, and he was like, "Yeah, like I play once in a while. I'm like okay. I don't shoot good sometimes." Dude, he went out there. he drove, he was driving at 300 minimum. And he's the biggest sandbagger. I would probably say he's probably one of the best. He's really good too.
Okay. That's a bold move from Tyler Palmer to be a first year guy in the program and start asking for strokes like that.
No doubt, man.
With my partner, I was like, this is crazy. He shows up, says he's not that good, and then he's just taking over.
He's like carding a 73.
I don't know if we eventually kept score, but he's crazy good. He can kill the ball. Crazy part as well. It was fun playing with him because I had to give it to him. I was making fun of him just because how good he was and how big a sandbagger he was. So
good for him. Great week. Golf game. Great weekend for Tyler Palmer last weekend too. Both him and Jacob Steinman. You got a couple good goalies. It's proven to be a pretty deep goalie room. But Jaden, we appreciate you coming on, man. We don't really have much else for you. And again, man, thanks for your time and just chatting with us a little bit about this season and your career. Best luck to you guys.
Of course, thanks, guys. I enjoyed this. It was fun.
All right, once again, thank you to Jaden Grant for joining the show, and thank you to our producer, Perry Lascaris. Subscribe to the CCHA show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribe to the CCHA on YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at Trent Singer, at Jared Urbato PP. You can check out our work at BemidjiPioneer.com and Sioux Falls Live.